So I'm actually in the Gush Beis Medrash, a lot happening, Baruch Hashem, and thinking a lot about monuments across the world, but in the United States in particular, there's a lot of tearing down monuments, in particular monuments of people, organizations, which were directly involved in perpetuating, driving institutions, social institutions of the day, which in our world are certainly unjust, and in any world are unjust, is certainly... We believe that society in this respect has evolved to a better state, to a more moral state, without slavery, without treating human beings as chattel, as property. There's also a lot of thought about monuments of people who weren't directly involved in these institutions, who may have lived heroic lives, may represent very important values, but who nonetheless couldn't supersede or escape these institutions. People like George Washington, Theodore Roosevelt. Again, George Washington was a slave owner, Theodore Roosevelt, just some of his statues are associated with racially discriminatory relationships. So I think a lot about different aspects of that, and I'll talk about that in Mirat Hashem throughout the next couple of days. One of the issues that I'm thinking about is how Judaism sees monuments and what types of monuments we erect. And obviously the first part of this whole equation is that we avoid any sculpture, we avoid any 3D renditions of human beings. We avoid any 2D renditions of human beings. And the principal reason, of course, is because it's a portal into the world of Avodah Zarah. And the cornerstone of monotheism is that Hashem is unknowable, Hashem is ineffable, we can't speak His name, Hashem is inscrutable and indecipherable, and certainly no physical images can convey Him. And the second you start rendering images in general of anything that people even associate with divine power, the sun, the moon, which obviously aren't gods, but are part of God's firmament, part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shamayim, Tzavakos, and that's why we don't render those types of images, and certainly human beings, and then, sadly enough, ancient religions apply human form to gods, and even in today's world, there's certain vestigial paganistic tendencies, certainly in Christianity, to render God through human form, so certainly when a Jew sees a monument, again, we fall into that state where we just walk by them, we appreciate them for their beauty, we would never fashion them ourselves or own one of them, because then we'd be in violation of the Isser, but if they're not religiously associated sculptures, they're just sculptures of political figures, of discoverers, of thinkers, of philosophers, of social heroes, so we become a little bit callous to it, and I think that in general, society's realizing it's become a little bit callous. Most people who are now protesting against the statues fell into a state where they just walked by, they didn't really think about it, didn't register. But now with the renewed interest in social justice and the renewed reformulation of racial discrimination in the past, so some of these statues are very abrasive to people. So we're not involved in statues or sculptures because of the association with the world of Avodah Zarah. But I think it's a little bit more than that. Obviously, the core is halacha, the core is the Isser. But I think that statues and monuments, not just deify, but they glorify, they aggrandize, they inflate, they augment human beings to larger than life. Literally, most statues are not, some are, but many statues, although they're lifelike in their features, they tend to exaggerate muscles, exaggerate heroism, and exaggerate and inflate the personality. These people weren't perfect. No human being is perfect. We don't create perfect images of human beings. Even Moshe Rabbeinu failed, and even he failed, but he sinned. And somehow that transition from persona into statue into sculpture creates a very, very false sense of the ability of human beings to reach perfection, and it creates hero worship. And I mentioned Moshe's grave site isn't known, in part because the frenzy and hysteria of those pilgrimages would have been associated with hero worship and deification, not in the ritual way, turning Moshe into a god, but turning Moshe into a larger-than-life personality. Again, obviously in the Hasidic Shevelt, the Hasidic world, there's a little bit more attention to graves, and there's more of a Kabbalistic view of the Rebbe, but it's very different. I don't have time to describe it now, and to outsiders, they take it very, very, they're very offended by it. Hero worship and Avodah Zarah, again, in one or two cases in the modern world, it could border on Avodah Zarah for some people, but by and large, the role of the Rebbe as a tzaddik and the role of the Rebbe as a channel and the overall chain of Kabbalistic Olam HaSalyonim is very, very different than what we would call hero worship. So just be careful not to conflate the two. So I think that we avoid statues because we feel uncomfortable turning human beings into larger-than-life personalities, into ignoring the frailty of the human condition. And I think to a degree that should help. Again, I think maybe statues that are associated with Civil War institutions or Southern institutions that perpetuated and invested in slavery, that dedicated their lives to building a network of slavery, maybe those are very offensive. But a statue like George Washington, maybe, even if you accept that his owning of slaves was morally corrupt, people all have failures. And
the third issue is that whenever you render something physical in appearances, your mind is riveted upon the image and the visual, and it becomes less of an abstract interaction.
I feel very deeply connected to Rashi. I feel very deeply connected to Rabbi Akiva. I feel very deeply connected to Avraham Avinu, to Moshe Rabbeinu, as we all do. And we don't have a clue about how these people look, their noses, their faces, their foreheads. Our interface with them is their ideas, their world, their values, their vision, their legacy, their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a much more abstract, it's a much more nuanced part of the problem with these statues. They leave very little room for nuance because you're forced to make a decision or a judgment. Is he good or bad? Is he good or evil? And our interaction is much more nuanced, much more formative. Think about how formative Rashi, Rabbi Akiva, how formative ideas are in your life. So Judaism's aversion of statues obviously is based on the halacha, but I think there are other layers to it. It's based on not glorifying human identity, and it's also based on creating an interface that's more internal, that's more formative, and that's more abstract, and therefore it's more formative, the interface of ideas and writings, values, and thought.